Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
At some point in her life, one out of every eight women will get breast cancer. One out of eight. Most women can beat it, but only with early detection. Don't let breast cancer stop you. Mammograms save lives.
Better total care. Peace Harbor Imaging now has digital mammograms. Get one.
During uncertain times, the best way to stay healthy is to know the facts. Here are some ways we all can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Only leave your home for necessities. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Call your doctor before going to the clinic or hospital if you're experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. At Peace Health, the safety and well-being of our patients, caregivers, and communities is our highest priority. We are all in this together. For more information, log on to peacehealth.org/COVID.
Joining me for this edition of Doc Talk is our Chief Administrative Officer at Peace Harbor Hospital, Jason Hawkins. And Jason, we haven't officially talked in a while. How have you been doing?
I've been doing well, you know, getting through the year like many of the rest of us have, one day at a time.
Yeah, I know. It's been a weird year. But you've been here for a few years now. Kind of remind us how you got here.
Sure. Yeah. It's been 3+ years. It'll be 4 years this October. And the short version is that after the first 50 years in the state of Pennsylvania, the kids decided they probably weren't going to be moving back. And they're all west of the Mississippi. And Deanne and I were looking around and different places to maybe, you know, pick up roots and go somewhere. And this opportunity surfaced, and we put the resume in and flew out here and fell in love with the community immediately, and really felt like a glove when we met with the board of directors and the providers and such that were here, and really was very similar to what I was doing in central Pennsylvania, where I was administrator of two community hospitals about this size, about an hour apart there. So it's just been an absolute joy to be here the last 3+ years and get to meet many people in the community and be able to share things that I know and try to continue to carry on the work that other people had started.
Now, if I remember correctly, when you first got here, there was a lot of stuff in the works already, a lot of planning for growth, a lot of planning for new things going on at the hospital. Is that correct? Didn't you walk into like a whole bunch of things going on?
Yeah, there was some things that were finishing out. The ER was just completed. And then we were starting to then turn and seeing how we could support the ER with better radiology equipment. So we've been started the last first year or so that I was here. We did infuse some new equipment in the ER. It's almost been completely restored to state-of-the-art equipment there. Our lab as well has been completely restored there as well with state-of-the-art equipment. And then we also been infusing a great deal of equipment around the OR and surgical services area to support a lot of our surgeons that are here now. We have 9 surgeons here on campus now that are doing different, anywhere from GYN, general surgery, podiatry, orthopedics. And then there was, you know, a couple community programs that we started working on and have continued to push through. The community paramedic program has been supported initially by our foundation. And that's a partnership between the hospital and Western Lane Ambulance, where a paramedic goes out and visits patients that are discharged or patients that are continue to use the ER. And maybe we need to connect them with a primary care physician and try to utilize services a little bit differently there. So that program is in it's completed 3 years now. So we're starting our 4th year with that. So we're starting to work with insurance payers to see if there's a sustainable way for that program to move forward. The other program that was around behavioral health, and this program certainly has been kind of got caught up in COVID a little bit, but we put in community resource centers at both Siusla and Mapleton school districts for behavioral health services and crisis services. for the kids there. And that program has done very, very well, even in spite of some of the shutdowns that have happened. Continue to see kids there, and I think making a big impact in that space.
Yeah, and I guess one of the things we want to talk about today is how this last year and the effects of COVID and the pandemic have kind of affected things over at the hospital there. First off, let's take a look. What are some of the biggest challenges that this has brought this last year?
Well, I think it's, I think as an industry, over the last several decades, we've taken a lot of the surge capacity kind of out of our healthcare industry and reducing bed sizes across the industry. So I think when you have this kind of situation with the pandemic, trying to find surge strategies, I think we were able to do it, but it provoked a lot of things we haven't thought about in a while.
Can you define a surge strategy? Because I'm not familiar with what you mean.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we had two or three. First was how do we increase surge capacity in our emergency department for that ambulatory patients that are coming in with a lot of respiratory related illnesses. So there was a little time here where you probably saw a modular office building out front, mm-hmm. Connected into the building here and had a generator. We also had a tent structure up as well to act as a potential surge and for waiting area and space for that. So that allowed us to change the flow of types of patients we had, so we could bring kind of non-respiratory patients through one area and respiratory patients through another area, as well as increasing our capacity for that. And then we also, early on, when the elective procedures got shut down back in May, June timeframe, we were able to convert our PACU space, our recovery room space for surgery procedures, and create a 10-bed COVID unit if we needed to do that. Because much of what we saw, we were planning as much as we could, unfortunately for the worst and hoping for the best, as they say. So we did those two strategies in place. And then we also had a strategy in our 21-bed unit, inpatient unit, where we could put suspected COVID patients early on. Because, initially we didn't have much testing either to know if people were actually positive with COVID or not, if very early on with that as well. So those are three examples that we did here locally.
And those were obviously challenges on a couple of bases, because number one, we didn't know a whole lot, right, about this virus when it first came out. So we were, could you say we were like overreaching at first, like you said, preparing for the worst and hoping for the better?
Yeah, I think it's incumbent upon us as healthcare providers to be there for our community. So, we had to kind of put in a safety net and then put in another safety net, because we just were all seeing this, a lot of what was happening in Europe at the time. And, we saw what was happening in New York City there for a little while as well. And you just didn't know when it was going to stop or how it was going to stop. And I really credit Florence in particular. And, I thought did a great job here locally listening to that and developing a lot of strategies. And I think the marketing communication department did a great job early on, even in February, when we were starting to stockpile PPE or get adequate supplies of PPE for this pandemic. You were seeing a lot of communications about masking and hand washing and social distancing and gathering. And I think Florence really did a great job kind of taking that to heart and minimizing the amount of events that we had here locally.
What did the hospital and staff learn over the past year as far as new ways to deal with things? I mean, obviously there were some lessons learned from the pandemic, and probably a lot of good things came from it, if you could share.
Yeah. I think it really continued to, hone our skills around infection prevention strategies. I think sometimes in healthcare has gotten a little bit, we've kind of moved things a little bit into retail space outside of the hospital. And that's okay. But with that, we sometimes we don't want to lose sight of the fact that we need to be making sure that we're donning and doffing and gowning and identifying potential respiratory illnesses early on and making sure that you know, when that patient's coming in to the walk-in clinic or to the ER, that we're putting the right protection around them, protection around our own, our caregivers as well. So I think that was a big lesson there for a lot of folks who hadn't really experienced anything close to this in their careers. So I think that was a big piece. I think building capacity for change is another one that we've, that, you know, talk about change fatigue and the amount of, you know, what is the source of truth? You know, is it the CDC, the federal, state, social media, and making sure that we're all kind of checking ourselves to make sure that we understand that source of truth and making sure that we're all getting ourselves aligned in a way that is, makes sense.
Looking back over the last year, and I don't mean this in a negative way whatsoever, but did you notice any areas of overkill that the more we know now about it, you could have done maybe a little bit differently, or did you pretty much just stick to the changes made and figure, well, just, that's just the way it is?
I never felt like we got too far into that space. I think when we had various stages of things, you know, in terms of surge planning and I think we had, things that we knew we had to activate and be prepared for, things we were looking at, how do we activate if we had a community surge plan, but we had those kind of sitting on a parking lot on a whiteboard ready to work on if we felt it shifted into that space. So I don't know that I would say that I sensed that there was any space where I thought we had overkill with. And I think we gave ourselves a lot of grace through that period of time.
What were the biggest surprises this past year? How few cases we actually did see, or, I mean, actually there was 179 as of today. So, I mean, I guess we did have our share of cases, but it didn't seem like it came in like any kind of rush.
Yeah. I think that some of the surprises that I would probably think about is, they were all pleasant, I think, in terms of, well, I shouldn't say they were all pleasant. That's not, I think what I'm thinking about is how we were prepared from a PPE perspective, when the vaccines became available, how we were prepared to vaccinate our healthcare workers in the group 1A. And I think there were positive things that way. I think that, you know, one of the things we kind of were, it was kind of surprising about how the virus would spread in some cases, and in some other cases it wouldn't spread at all. You know, you'd think if two people were together and one person tested positive, in some cases that other person, maybe a spouse, never tested positive, never developed any symptoms, it was negative. And there'd be other kind of cases we were being told where there was just kind of a random interaction between two people and somehow they got the other person exposed, or they were exposed to the other person somehow. So it was very unsettling at times how the virus might spread and how it didn't spread too.
Yeah, that would be surprising, because you'd think, you know, a couple lives in the house together, that would be, you know, just an obvious thing. But I guess the virus picked on some people and left other people alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking with Jason Hawkins. He is the Chief Administrative Officer at Peace Harbor Hospital here in Florence. And we'll be back with more on Doc Talk.
During uncertain times, the best way to stay healthy is to know the facts. Here are some ways we all can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Only leave your home for necessities. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Call your doctor before going to the clinic or hospital if you're experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. At Peace Health, the safety and well-being of our patients, caregivers, and communities is our highest priority. We are all in this together. For more information, log on to peacehealth.org/COVID.
At some point in her life, one out of every eight women will get breast cancer. One out of eight. Most women can beat it, but only with early detection. Don't let breast cancer stop you. Mammograms save lives.
Better total care. Peace Harbor Imaging now has digital mammograms. Get one.
I'm speaking with Jason Hawkins. He's the Chief Administrative Officer at Peace Health Peace Harbor Hospital here in Florence. And we're talking about this last year, not just about COVID. We'll get to some other things other than that. But before we get to that, I do want to ask you one more thing as far as the COVID thing goes. And obviously, you probably got some people out there that just did over and above. Of course, you probably have that in regular circumstances, too. But what are some of your points of pride this last year?
I think I would probably say, well, there's so many. I think about the fact that many of our providers and caregivers just never blinked during the adversity of the past year. It was always, you know, next person up, next shift up. They really were here for each other, here for the community, really kind of banded together to make sure we were there for everybody. So that was a source of pride and great to see. The community working together, the businesses working together regarding safety concerns, Peace Health, being a community critical access hospitals, and there's like 1,200 of them in the country, and many of them, unfortunately, were maybe having to do send some people home. There was, some have seen things change and not come back from a business perspective, from a consumerism perspective. And just the fact that we didn't do any layoffs, we didn't send people home, we protected their pay, created a COVID sick bank for those that that may have been, exposed or infected with the virus. Just early on, doubling down and taking care of our employees. I think Peace Health did a great job creating that point of stability when there was so much instability happening in the country and with our workforce. I thought that just gave people a sense of comfort for that, providing sources of funds for childcare for those who needed it, creating an endowment for that, those kind of things, George.
Now, with this over the last year, like you said, they came in, they did their job. The next shift came up, they did their job. In the midst of crisis, people tend to stand up, and then when the crisis is over, they kind of take a breath and maybe have some residual effects on that. Does the hospital, work with others to provide maybe some counseling or something like that after this thing dies down and we can see kind of what actually happened after it's all over?
Yeah, we're wanting to make sure, we certainly offer an employee assistance program. During in the early stages with a lot of the instability and all the ambiguity that was going on, we did offer counseling services here on campus with some of our own counseling providers, or even linking them to somebody else if they wanted to do that. We're definitely, we know there's been a lot of change because of this. And we know we need to be listening and really just being supportive. This year we really tried to make sure, our appreciation event that we normally have where we have our kind of Halloween costume and our years of service and our Dove awards and all those things, we couldn't do that in person. I thought we did a really good job that week of just celebrating that every day this year during that week in October, and letting people know how much we appreciate what they're doing and realizing that. And then, of course, over the holidays, we have some spirit of gratitude that goes on and offering holiday meals and allowing people to participate in other events like the Seroptimus piece, and where we help sponsor the holiday baskets and that kind of thing. So just really giving people a little bit of a relief, a sense of appreciation, I think is really important.
I want to get away in a minute from the COVID aspect of this last year, but part of the situation makes me ask this question, because COVID really affected the ability to have the volunteers in place, and my understanding is that the volunteers of over time have been really a critical part in providing that extra level of care for folks around there. Are they back yet? Are you planning on bringing them back soon?
So we are planning. There's a reactivization plan that John Pearson and I and some others are working on. We needed to, get them vaccinated so that, we're very appreciative of our volunteers, but we also know that they were a bit in that vulnerable age group, and we wanted to make sure that they were safe and protected. So we're doing things like right now at the gift shop, we're putting in plexiglass and putting all those things. When it kind of got closed down, we didn't go into that space and provide the protection that we have put in other places where we have visitors and patients coming into. So we're doing that right now, and putting in, you know, how many people can be in the gift shop and plexiglass. And John's getting ready to meet with some of his folks, and probably going to do like one program at a time. It sounds like where the gift shop's first, and then maybe someone in the front lobby. And then, you know, we had a volunteer like in the surgery area, but we can only have so many people sitting in the surgery area. So it's kind of reopening under a new set of rules for our volunteers. So we want to make sure we bring them on board effectively and they feel comfortable with what's going on. But if things continue to trend the way they are, George, I would think anticipate something over the next 1 to 2 months for us.
And do you feel the rules that you're putting in place now will stay in effect even after the pandemic is over?
Some, yes. Some, as things continue to relax, you know, I suspect will continue. But for the foreseeable future, I think you'll continue to see some of the, where you choose to eat, or where you choose to, how many people you have in an area. Those kind of things, I think, will continue to be modified.
All right. I'm speaking with Jason Hawkins. He's the Chief Administrative Officer at Peace Health Peace Harbor Hospital. And you're listening to Doc Talk. We'll be back in just a moment.
At some point in her life, one out of every 8 women will get breast cancer. 1 out of 8. Most women can beat it, but only with early detection. Don't let breast cancer stop you. Mammograms save lives.
Better total care. Peace Harbor Imaging now has digital mammograms. Get one.
During uncertain times, the best way to stay healthy is to know the facts. Here are some ways we all can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Only leave your home for necessities. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Call your doctor before going to the clinic or hospital if you're experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. At Peace Health, the safety and well-being of our patients, caregivers, and communities is our highest priority. We are all in this together. For more information, log on to peacehealth.org/COVID.
I'm speaking with Jason Hawkins, the Chief Administrative Officer at Peace Health Peace Harbor Hospital. And we're going to get away from COVID-19 right now, if that's okay with you, Jason.
That would be great. I'd love to talk about some of the other work that we've been doing this year.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, I know that you just finished up the seismic upgrades, which is more of a building and facilities thing. But what are some of the other accomplishments and highlights of this last year that are unrelated to COVID-19?
Yeah. And I want to take a moment and really talk about the seismic upgrade too, and really thank Pat Kirby, our facilities manager here, and his team. And, you know, that's been a labor of love for Pat to make sure that this facility is safe. And I think of all of with all the wildfires and the pandemic, that we realizing that the local hospital needs to be a safe haven, and we want to make sure that in the event that there is some sort of high magnitude earthquake, that that we're here and we're available for our community. So that's a big deal for us to make ourselves available for that. You know, we're outside the tsunami zone, and doing this was important. And we were the first facility in Oregon to use this funding for this type of upgrade. It was a little over $3 million is what we ended up doing. And so the next steps as we move forward is to look at with the new shake alert protocol and policy that's out there and system that's out there. We're looking at some, you know, automatic shutoff for water and power that would automatically kick on our generators in the event that would happen. And we're also, you know, considering an independent water source in the event there would be an event that we were able to, this were to happen. So the thought is that if there was an event, the building would still be standing. We'd have our own source of power and our own source of water that we could then be that stable facility for the community in the event there was some sort of significant event like that. So did want to call a shout out to Pat Kirby and his team for all the work they were doing. Some of the other stuff, really proud that we did not lose sight with all the emphasis on COVID and all the changes that were happening day in and day out, that this was really a record year in quality outcomes for us. Robin Allen and her nursing team and our providers really have done a great job making sure that when people come here, that they're not having any pressure injuries, no hospital-acquired infection, no patient falls. We're going on 2 years without a significant event like that. And it's really, I think, a testimony to their hard work and their dedication to our patients for all that. And our patient experience scores continue to get better. We're always looking for ways that we can create a better experience for our patients. They don't feel well when they come in, and they're nervous, and they're not sure all the things that are going to happen. And we hope we're a comfort for them, and we hope that when they leave that we've made them a little better than when they came in. So those are a couple things that we've done. We've also continued to infuse a lot of new instruments. Added 3 new anesthesia machines this year, several instruments sets and scopes for our surgical teams for that area. We continue, mostly in the, ortho, podiatry, general surgery, and GYN space as well. So a lot of good work in that area, George.
How about some things that people might not know about Peace Harbor Hospital? Some hidden gems, so to speak. That might be people. It might be services. I mean, obviously it's people, but.
Yeah. Boy. So much. I guess I would first start out with, they often get overlooked, but facilities and EVS, facilities and housekeeping services, and they're often go unsung in what they do. But I continue, when someone does come into the building for the first time, they're surprised to hear that it was built in 1990. They're pleasantly surprised by how good it looks, how clean it looks. And I just really want to give a shout out to that group. A couple hidden gem departments, IV infusion, is an area where, it's a smaller department. We have, 2 to 3, chairs for that, 2 to 3 bays. But really, folks are getting IV infusion sometimes daily, sometimes 3 times a week. It keeps folks from traveling, great distances like to Eugene. It's a great service and a great crew there. And, we are looking in the future to see if there's some expansion opportunities for IV infusion and oncology here in Florence. Palliative care team, they continue to really set standards with chronic disease management and helping people and families navigate towards the end of life and the treatments around those things. And it just creates such great comfort for people. And I guess I would probably be remiss if I didn't talk about women's health too. And Dr. Scully, Serrano and Parker and those entire teams, and just not obstetrics, but just overall women's health program and how important that is for our community. And, we have 3D mammo, bone tensitometry services, and our ability to help treat and diagnose for those providers and our patients, I think, would be a couple areas that come to mind, George, I think. And really everybody, I hate to just single out any particular areas, but off the top of my head, those are a couple spaces I would talk about.
Now, you mentioned earlier about one of the benefits that Peace Health, Peace Harbor Hospital has been able to do is to kind of take care of its people during this COVID time, no layoffs, and things like that. And I'm guessing that's part of being part of a 3-state healthcare organization with Peace Health and Peace Harbor Hospital. What are some of the other advantages of being a part of that larger group?
Well, I think it speaks to stability, financial stability. It also allows for clinical integration strategies. There is so much in the industry right now to try to disseminate, as an example, during COVID and we weren't distracted with all the funding applications here locally. That was being handled at the system level of all the federal funding, or having maybe to decipher the latest change with the CDC guidelines. It just creates a very stabilizing situation when there's a very unstable environment. The other part, I guess, that's really important to really talk about is it just affords you scale and opportunity that way that you don't have when you're independent. But, you know, we're able to do a lot of things here locally for our community. Our community health board, our foundation board, their primary objectives are quality outcomes and collaboration with our community partners, things like the community paramedicine program and the resource centers. The quality that I spoke to is really being driven by our local board. But, you know, being part of a system is able to meet our needs, but still be linked clinically to a four hospital system in Lane County is just a tremendous benefit for things like trauma, OB, telehealth, another one, George, that that we take advantage of and will continue to. You know, we just recently opened up a rapid virtual cardiology clinic. So the cardiology team is here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, usually two providers each day. But sometimes on their off day, we can do a rapid clinic. So if someone's exhibiting certain symptoms and we want to hurry up and get them to see a cardiologist on an outpatient basis and then be able to order a test or two while they're here on campus to make sure everything's okay. So I think those are things that being part of a system, being part of a network are just really, really important for us.
And I guess I can assume that this COVID-19 thing, we really learned a lot about how we can do things differently and still provide quality care.
Yes. Necessity is the mother of innovation, as they say, right?
Yeah. Well, Jason, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. I can't wait till we can do this in person again. I guess I'll have to get my shot first, though, before we can do that. Yeah. But
I would like to just a big thank you of support to all our communities. Our caregivers and providers really light up when someone gives them a special thank you, a note, or some sort of special treat once in a while that's COVID compliant, of course. But those notes that we get from time to time, we read those at our huddles every day, and it really makes a big difference. So those folks that have taken time to write a nice note on the type of care they received makes a big difference. And I also want to thank our community health board and our foundation boards for their unwavering support here locally for us this past year. And again, thanks to all the providers and caregivers who really never blinked during the adversity in this past year, George. So it's really been an honor and privilege to be part of the team here.
I echo that for you because, you know, I know secondhand how much work these folks have done this last year. So thank you, Jason.
Thank you, George. Have a good day.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.